The Lord be with you.
A proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
May the Lord be in my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Jesus replied, "Do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and if he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched." The Gospel of the Lord. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be wiped away. Good evening, everybody. I was reading, for my own reason, one of the documents of the Second Vatican Council called Lumen Gentium. And in reading it, I was reminded of something that we were certainly told all through our seminary training. And what we are told and should be reminding ourselves of, and if we forget that, the people of God should be reminding us, that the purpose of preaching the Word of God for deacons and for priests is for the purpose of conversion. In other words, every time you and I come into the sacred space here, there is a particular reason for that. Oh, there might be many: matrimony, baptisms, funeral masses, first confessions, and so on, in preparation for the Eucharist. Any time that the Word of God is proclaimed, it is for the purpose of being converted, of having what we call a change of heart. The Scriptures would call it a metanoia, which means this absolute change in how we see God through what Paul would call the eyes of faith, and not just see God and experience him, but because of that ongoing conversion process, that's how we relate to the world. As people who are involved in changing from sin and death to conversion and a life of graciousness for the purpose of everlasting life, but also because we're called to bring in the kingdom. And I don't do that alone, we do it in community. As a matter of fact, to make St. Mark's point, this reason for this ongoing conversion is so I and we, all of us, become examples to each other of what it is to be in grace and to be gracious. The opposite of that, according to Christ and Mark's gospel today, is to give scandal. When we don't do that and we act like the way of the world and we take on the so-called values of a culture that's more invested in oneself rather than the community of the whole for the good, when we don't put on those eyes of faith, we can be tempted instead to have a certain sense of sarcasm, jadedness, or distrust about the world. Not just about the world, but about other people and human relationships. And so we constantly come into the sacred space to have that obliterated from us, to be washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. That begins with baptism. And in being washed clean, then, we're constantly in the state of being impacted with God's grace, with the message of the Scriptures, that he calls us to take care of each other, As a matter of fact, we become responsible not only for our own salvation, but for the responsibility of the salvation of others. So by how I act, how I dress, who my friends are and the places that I go, I can inadvertently lead someone to perdition by a certain language, a certain value system, supposedly, that I take on that is not of the value of the kingdom. I and we need to come into the sacred space very often, daily if we can, but especially the Sabbath celebration, because I need to be cleansed. I need to be reminded, impacted, and pummeled with the voice of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures, and especially in receiving His body and eating His blood, to be reminded for my raison d'être, my reason for being, is to someday go to heaven. And along the way, I am gracious as a candidate for eternal salvation of the elect are supposed to be. And I don't just do that for myself. I am called to bring many with me. That's what Jesus does. He elected 12 to go out, and they elected more until all of those are baptism called the elect. We are this parade, if you will, what's the definition of the Catholic Church someone gave during the 1970s? Definition of the Catholic Church? Here comes everybody. April the 6th of this year, because I had been in Medjugorje in 1990 in the former Yugoslavia, I was paying attention to what was going on during that civil war in Bosnia-Herzegovina 20 years ago. And April the 6th of this year, they celebrated their 20th anniversary of that slaughter from 92 to 96. I can remember at the time reading voraciously about it because I'd come to know a number of people there, as well as one can at a 9-day pilgrimage, but I had kept in touch with them, and so I was wondering what was happening to my friends over there. And so I was paying attention to the stories in the newsprint that was coming out. I was impacted particularly by a story that was written, I think it was in Time or Newsweek, one of them. It was a reporter who was over there, and he was not only taking notes, but because he didn't have a camera person with him, he was also taking pictures. And in the course of that, two hats, he watched in front of him a young 6-year-old girl gunned down in the street through this battle that was happening in front of everyone in a market square in Sarajevo. And he dropped his pen and pencil. Thank God, he said, that the camera was around his neck. And he ran over and he helped this man who had run out of nowhere and picked up this girl bleeding. And he pulled his car up very quickly and he hustled them into his back seat. And he took off for the hospital even while shots were penetrating his automobile. On the way, he could hear this man say, "Friend," meaning the driver, "could you hurry, please? My daughter is still breathing well." A couple of minutes passed. "Could you hurry, friend? My daughter, she doesn't look well. She's getting very pale." A couple of minutes later, friend, I beg you, could you go as fast as you can? Her breath is becoming hesitant now. And finally, friend, please, could you? I'm not sensing a heartbeat. And finally, they screeched up and they both pick her up and run into the emergency room. She was already dead. They were in the bathroom of this hospital, such as it was, washing the blood off their hands and off their clothes. And the man who had picked this girl up, that he said, "My girl, my daughter, my child," turned to him and said, "You know, I've got the hardest thing in the world to do right now. I've got to go and tell that girl's father that she's dead." And the reporter said, "But I thought that you were the father." He said, "No, I'm not. But aren't they all our children?" I'll never forget that line, because the reporter went on to rhapsodize about a connection that he made suddenly about people that he had never made before. And I thought to myself, and yet if one is close to the Scriptures, and one is a Christian, particularly a Catholic Christian, one would have that sense of, we are all God's children, and we are all called to take care of each other. And the way that begins is by good example. That's mentioned in the Scriptures today. There's also something else that should be said. There's something called in the Latin mortificare, meaning to cut off. Many people who are fundamentalists are dangerously close to following this Scripture, to the letter. All Scripture is inspired, and one must do everything that's in there. Well, Mark is never quoting Jesus to say that you have to pluck out the eye, or you have to cut off the hand or the foot or whatever. There's something in Scripture writing among the Hebrews that we call hyperbole. It means exaggeration. That the storytelling and the passing on of the oral tradition among the Jews, I suppose it would be like us talking about going fishing and I caught one this big when really it was like this. They would make a point here, Jesus was, in this Hebrew, this Jewish, this oral tradition, of exaggerating it so much to catch your attention to see how serious this is. And so what he's talking about is to cut off the relationship that isn't good for me, to cut myself off from going to that place that is toxic to my grace, to not do and to take care of and to stay away from and to cut out that thing that I might be watching on that computer or television set or movie cinema, to stay away from people who speak in a particular way that is not only rude and slanderous and demeaning and critical, but also use a certain kind of language that no Christian, certainly no Catholic, who puts the body of Christ and his blood in our mouth should ever use the tongue, because all of our senses are meant to be openings to the kingdom of God constantly being impacted by God's grace. For the purpose of my conversion, ongoing all my life, and surrounding myself with people who have that same value system. And so we're called to giving good example, particularly to the young. We're called to mortification, to cut off. As a matter of fact, when I cut those things off, I am doing reparation for sin in the world, not just of my own. It's a form of penance, something very Christian and superbly Catholic.